This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
And welcome back to the Cooler Jets podcast for us, Ben Blessington and Michael Nania. Well, Michael, another game, another podcast, another embarrassing Jets loss on national television, full of meme-worthy plays, meme-worthy commercials with the head coach. Just more national embarrassment in this season that has just been awful and disappointing. And we're running out of things to say. There's probably a broader discourse that a lot of Jets fans are having about the futures of Saleh and Joe Douglas and Rodgers and all of this. So I guess we'll hop into that. But first, Michael, how are you doing? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was pretty good. I feel like the game
better than your Black Friday.
Better than my Black Friday, for sure. Although, I mean, I watched the game with my brother and my dad that came over to my apartment, and we had a thrilling time watching the Jets, as per usual. But yeah, it was a good weekend. Had some more Twitter drama, as seems to be the usual for me nowadays.
This yeah, you year,
I
mean, a publicist.
I know you have been trying to take up that mantle. Sometimes I take your advice, sometimes I just deny you, and I'm like, I don't need a publicist. But sometimes I feel like I do because, I mean, this year has just been filled with those for me.
But started with the Reddit guy.
We can maybe get into that a little bit later. But yeah, another.
I don't mean to say anything. Okay, you've come under a lot of fire, but I don't mean to say anything. Your takes have aged like fine wine this season. So you at least can hang your hat on that. If you ain't have haters, you ain't popping. One of many of Saleh's great cliche quotes. And I know you've turned on Saleh. Now, we've talked about it every time we've
turned,
on the podcast.
During the game, anti-Saleh squad. We're going to have it.
Well, during the game, a lot of times you'll tweet things very, you know, you're angry, whatever, you're passionate. And then you will get on the podcast and be like, all right, the game's over. I've had a chance to sit back and reflect. And no, I don't think the Jets should kill everybody in their front office. And no, I don't think Zach Wilson deserves to go to prison. How do you feel about Saleh after this one? Because you were tweeting some things during the game that it's just like the guy's 15 and 30. It's 3 years now of this. The product is unplayable. We were disagreeing over text. How do you feel about Saleh a couple hours after this one?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There are a lot of times during games when I get very emotional and I'll send you some texts that later on I read them and I'm like, wow, I was overreacting. Because, you know, when you're in the middle of the game, you feel so helpless and you're just watching your team get destroyed and you feel like, oh, I want to blame someone for this. Someone's got to be held accountable. So there's like that emotion and you know, it leads you to make some conclusions that sometimes later on you look back and you think about it more logically once the game is over and you're like, you know, that was over the line. But in this case, I feel like I am starting to lean towards the anti-Saleh sort of side of the spectrum to the point where I feel like, you know, this is a unique situation that the Jets are in, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers and everything. But I feel like if I were in charge, I would do some house cleaning after the season. And I think he would be a part of it. I'm definitely getting to the point where it's hard to see him being the leader of a winning team. And I understand that a lot of the things the Jets are dealing with right now are beyond his control. There are a lot of mistakes Joe Douglas has made, for sure. There have been injuries. They're on their third quarterback, third player, various positions, especially on offense. A lot of tough things, for sure. But at the same time, I think, you know, you're in year three at this point, and at the end of the day, the product falls on the head coach. And you look at the overall product with this team, and that's what I think this all comes down to, is it just doesn't feel like a competitive team. And I know they're dealing with a lot of issues, like I said, but there are a lot of examples around the league of teams that are dealing with similarly difficult situations, and they're fighting through it. The Texans have a rookie quarterback, and they're 6-4. The Browns have had injuries at quarterback, and when Deshaun Watson did play, he was terrible. And they've lost both their starting tackles, and they're 7-3. The Vikings have Josh Dobbs, and they've lost Justin Jefferson for about half the season. They're 6-5, and they won most of those games without him. So there are a lot of examples. It doesn't always have to be, you know, a perfect situation for you to win games. I know the Jets, every single year, there's been some sort of explanation for it. It was rebuilding the first year, it was a young team. Last year, Breece and AVT got hurt. Zach Wilson sucked. And then this year, everything that's happened this year. But it doesn't, if you, it has to be perfect for you to win games, what are you bringing to the table? That's really what I'm at with Sal at this point, because you're year three, and it feels like the only way they can win is if everything is pristine and perfect. And it doesn't really feel like that, you know, he's elevating the team in any way. He has all these mantras every single offseason, but we're still committing multiple bad personal fouls a game. His clock management and his fourth down decisions are poor. Like, coming into the season, I believe last year, he was the worst coach in the league in terms of going forward on fourth down when you should, based on the win probability of go versus punt or kick field goal. This year, I feel like, has been similar. Like, there was a 4th-and-1 in the first half where, and granted, they were shallow.
Yeah, they're on the side of the field. 35 yards or something.
On 30 or something, but it felt like a situation where they should have went. I mean, they went for a fake punt last week, and later in the second quarter, it felt like a situation where it was like, okay, you give the ball back, they could score on you immediately. They get the ball second half. Like, situations like that where you could see more aggressiveness. And then I'm going to be completely honest. I think a lot of my solid aggression right now has to do with that commercial. I mean, come on. Come on.
I was about to
clearly
say.
You filmed that during the season. He's got the in-season beard.
All right, the commercial's your best argument. The commercial's your best argument, because clearly you filmed that over the bye, or maybe, I don't know exactly when. But did you not know that, like, you've been in New York for 3 seasons. You knew that that was just going to get thrown right in your face. Also, brilliant marketing by Colgate, because I bet you they knew as well. It's like, okay, we're going to air this at the end of the season when the Jets suck and we get to do lol Jets and everybody's going to tweet this meme out. Barstool will tweet it out. Jets fans will tweet it out. Great marketing for Colgate. I have it as my background on the podcast. The Colgate commercial was embarrassing. It was more embarrassing to me than the pick six on the Hail Mary that preceded it. That play was unlucky, unfortunate, but like, all right, it was a good play.
I couldn't believe
the Dolphins,
that. Like, the fact that it's the first time we've ever seen it. Like, if we were seeing it already, like, whatever. But, like, we're debuting this commercial after you just threw, they're calling it the Hail Mary. Like, come on. It's
why crazy. Do you think they chose Saleh? Why do you think Colgate chose Saleh?
Oh, Jets,
because they knew they were
going to prime time games this
they were going to throw in their face.
And you could throw it right in their face.
If I mean, that's
granted,
Andy Reid, nobody gives a shit.
He's feeling good. They probably just beat the Eagles. He did it after the bye week. He's like, all right, let's take advantage of being in New York. But I don't know.
Knew exactly
it just
what
feels
they were
like
doing
a lack of awareness. So maybe it's sort of driven by that. But I don't know. I feel like here's what it comes down to for me. Even if Aaron Rodgers was with this team this year, they would be a better team, undoubtedly. But would they be a Super Bowl team? I definitely don't see that. I think maybe they'd be the 20th or so best offense, maybe a 9 or 10 win team, maybe 8 win team like he was last year. And
receiver would be a problem.
Receiver would be a problem. Offensive line, like there's a lot of things that he wouldn't fix. So I feel like
he would mask a lot of Hackett though.
Right. He would mask a lot of the issues, but
and you
think
about how many. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I think going into next year, like you're hoping you get 1 year out of Rodgers. Maybe more, but it's probably 1 year, and you want to maximize that as best you can. I think you look at this team, and you should be honest with yourself that even if he did play, this wasn't going to be a Super Bowl team. That's what we've learned to this point, and we need to try to find a way to raise the ceiling. And I really do believe that coaching has to be a big part of that. Obviously, Hackett, we would all love to see that. I think if they could get a hotshot coordinator, put him under Saleh, that could work. But it doesn't feel like Hackett's going to go anywhere. And even if they did do that, I think an offensive head coach at this point is a better decision because, like, we talk about it every head coaching cycle. Offensive head coaches
are
the way to go in this league. Like, a lot of the teams that are good consistently in the league today are the teams that can establish their offensive identity with an offensive head coach, and then they can maintain that throughout the years, whether it's Sean McVay, whether it's Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, Nick Sirianni's doing it with the Eagles. There's a lot of examples of that. That's the best way to go. And there are some good defensive head coaches, special teams head coaches, but the guys who stick in that role do it because they're great coaches, like your John Harbaughs. You want their Belichick in there, maybe Pete Carroll. Like, these are guys who have proven like they are outstanding coaches. And Saleh, even if he's not awful, which, you know, I'm sort of arguing at this point, but even if he's not that, at best, he's average. And as a defensive head coach, if you're just average, you're not moving the needle or establishing a consistent base for success in the same way that an offensive head coach is doing, like a Kyle Shanahan, like all those guys I just mentioned, because it's an offensive league. It's a quarterback league. And if, when you have that, the head coach spot, I feel like that's the best way to truly establish that and maintain it for years to come. Like, you could talk about culture all day and, you know, that being the basis of consistent success. And he's done an okay job in that department, I guess, despite, you know, the penalties and the players ranting on Twitter. So maybe not a great job. But despite that, I don't think culture is what the basis is. I think it's offense, offensive structure. That is what wins consistently in the NFL today. And I think you need a head coach to do that, because offensive coordinator, if he's good, which the Jets haven't had a good one anyway, but if he is good, he's going to leave in a couple of years and be someone else's head coach. So at this point, I feel like you got one more year with Rodgers, then you know you're moving on after that, hopefully finding a franchise quarterback. Saleh's not moving the needle. He's not, he's as proven, at least he's not an amazing head coach. Maybe he's good. Maybe he's average, but he's not great. And he's a defensive head coach. So I would like to try to raise the ceiling, get an offensive head coach, and get a new offensive coordinator, and let Saleh or let Rodgers help handpick that, those two guys if you want. That's what I would do personally. I know they're not going to do that. Saleh's sticking around. So
you'd
hope
you'd let Rodgers handpick the head coach?
Not necessarily handpick, but like contribute.
We've seen all of his other moves this offseason.
That's true. Kind of Peyton Manning-esque in terms of recommending Adam Gase. But I mean, just, I only say that
he'd,
because
he'd recommend
it feels
Hackett.
Like, right. But like, that's the reason I say that, is because it feels like, you know, Hackett's his guy. Like, if you tell him, oh, we're firing Hackett, we're firing Saleh now, he's like, oh, okay, I'm out of here. I unretired for this. Like, these are my guys and they're going to fire them. So I would at least say, like, you can contribute to helping pick the new guy. But I don't know. That's me personally. I feel like Saleh at this point has, and I don't want to write him off completely, because like I said, if you can fire Hackett, get a good offense coordinator, maybe you can make a better push next year, you know, fix some of the holes in the roster. I don't think it's totally impossible for him to be a successful coach in this league, to win a Super Bowl with the Jets. I don't think it's impossible, but it's becoming very close to that point, to where it's like, what has he shown to where I can envision that? It's becoming hard to see that, especially with the toothpaste commercial.
The toothpaste commercial was bad. I'll give you that.
That's a nail in the coffin. Let's be real. Like, I was teeter-tottering before that, but then I saw that and I'm like, all right, that guy's not winning a Super Bowl with the Jets.
I think that, look, you made plenty of good arguments about Saleh, but here's what I would come back to. He has been saddled with absolutely nothing on the offensive side of the ball. Right. And
fair.
I understand that, you know, okay, Zach Wilson, probably on Joe Douglas. LaFleur, probably on Saleh, but if you go back and watch, LaFleur wasn't the worst offensive coordinator. He's certainly better than Hackett. I think the first 2 years of Saleh's tenure, QB was a bigger issue than OC. And then this year, they go in for Rodgers. And I think the one thing that would kind of concern me is that they did hire Hackett before they knew they were going to get Rodgers. So if they had hired Hackett and didn't get Rodgers, and this was the product that we had in the field, and maybe we have Derek Carr or Jimmy Garoppolo or something, and we're seeing this shit, I would give a lot more credence to what you're saying about he hasn't shown anything, they're going to fire him. But I think every step of the way, most people would agree that the Jets didn't work out, but they took the right course. You think about their rookie year with Zach Wilson. He got saddled with one of the worst first-round quarterbacks. A guy, look, I've defended him. I'm not, you know, certainly in this game proved that he's not the only issue. But his first year, he's rebuilding the culture that Gase had left behind with a rookie quarterback. Not a good year. The next year, They turn the corner. The defense turns into one of the better units in the league. He has him at 7-4. But yet again, the young quarterback is historically bad, to the point that they put in an undrafted guy in Mike White, who I guess he'd played a couple years before that, but a guy with little to no experience in Mike White, who comes in, wins a couple games, has him at 7-4. He gets injured. You're back to Zach Wilson. You lose the games down the stretch. And then they go into this offseason saying, okay, we have a great defense. We got to fix the offense. They push all their chips in the middle for a Hall of Fame quarterback and bring in the offensive coordinator that he had for back-to-back MVP seasons 2 years before that. They push all their chips in on Rodgers, and it blew up in their face in the fourth play of the game. You can get mad at the Jets for not having a better contingency plan. you can criticize Saleh for hiring Hackett as the OC. But the reality is that the players in the locker room respect him. They play hard for him. They have one of the best defenses in the league. Sure, the record isn't pretty, but he deserves another year. He deserves the year with Rodgers to see what they all envisioned when they this is not the season they envisioned. And there's plenty to criticize. We're going to get into that. Douglas isn't above criticism as well, because there's, you know, plenty of questionable free agent signings and draft picks in there as well. But it's like, what more was Saleh supposed to do these last couple of years? The best point you made outside of the Colgate commercial is that hiring an offensive coordinator is probably your best chance at having continued offensive success in this league, and offense is king. But let's not act like people have short-term memory. They forget where the Jets were at as an organization in 2020 post-Gase. Just the absolute loser mentality that they had in that building, and just the complete lack of hope that, I don't mean to say anything, Saleh and Douglas have been able to instill back in this organization. Now, look, the record isn't there. I would also point to, there are a lot of coaches, from Bill Parcells to Bill Belichick to Chuck Knoll to all the, I mean, you can pull up the number of Hall of Fame great coaches that have taken a few years to get their programs in order. I think the Jets have been victim to some bad decisions, absolutely, some mistakes Saleh has been made, and some just terrible luck. And it's like, to fire him before you see what he could do with even just a competent offense just seems misguided to me. Like, I think the one thing that Woody has hopefully learned is that I think continuity is important. I really do in this league. And I think if you fire your head coach every 2 or 3 years and replace him with somebody else and he's building his program up, I think he deserves one more year. I think at the very least he gets his year with Rodgers, and it'll be a big offseason for Saleh. Because I'm not saying heads shouldn't roll. He really has to make a decision on Hackett. Can Rodgers play without Hackett? Can Hackett accept a demotion? You know, are you going to fire Todd Downing and maybe try to bring in some young hotshot to design your passing concepts, poach somebody from Miami staff or Detroit staff to redesign the offense, and Hackett calls it and Rodgers is running, whatever. He has to make some decisions, absolutely. And also JD has to make some decisions in his cabinet. There should be guys who should get fired from this year. I just don't think it's wise to fire Saleh before you get to see him with Aaron Rodgers, before you get to see what you tried to build this year. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. Like, I still think he can, again, if Hackett's out of here, because I don't trust that Hackett offense, even if Rodgers is running the show, can be all that good. So with a different offense coordinator, I do think Saleh can still get it done. I just feel like, you know, like I said, you have one more year with Rodgers. That's what you're shooting for, and you want to make the most of it. I really feel like you can raise the ceiling if you shoot for something else. And I know it's, you know, maybe change for the sake of change. Maybe Saleh's liked in the locker
room. Who are you hiring?
I don't have the list of candidates. We'll see. Like, I would Harbaugh? Have to look at the list. But, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like Saleh as a head coach doesn't bring that much to the table at this point. I don't see how much, you know, worse the overall. I'm not going to, you know, act like this is the worst Jets team of all time and overreact. But at the same time, it feels like there's a lot more room to be better than Saleh than there is to be worse.
You could have a locker room not respect their head coach. We've seen that before. And I think Saleh clearly has the respect of this locker room. It's also like, it's not like we've never seen him. They were at 7-4 last
Gase
year with
had
no quarterback.
Little respect. He still won the same amount of games in his first season as Saleh this season with this team.
You also said something, and I don't want to interrupt, but you said like they have to win perfect. It's like, that's not true. How many games has Saleh won with just absolutely no quarterback play? This year, last year, his first year? They've won plenty of ugly games at this defense, and also, like, the other thing is, it's not like Saleh has been immune to
making any
change. How much
credit does he even get for the defense? Because isn't he the CEO, head coach?
A lot.
It feels like Ulbrich's defense for the most part.
No, it's Saleh's defense. Yes, obviously he's delegated a lot to Ulbrich, but let's not act like this isn't Saleh's defense or that's not his forte. Like, yeah, Saleh definitely deserves credit for the defense. There are a lot of things you can criticize Saleh with. My only point is, I just think it's overreactionary to fire him after this year. They have 6 games left. There's plenty more room for this to get ugly and fans to be booing and the outside noise to get louder and louder. But just like you saw this week, all the outside noise about benching Zach, I don't think that's the biggest issue right now. I don't think Saleh is the big, I don't think firing Saleh is like, oh, there we go. That's the magic elixir. I think there's a lot of room to upgrade this offense. But in terms of Saleh as a head coach, that's where I really just think, like, I'd like to see him with his year with Rodgers. He has a lot of decisions to make this offseason. I think next year is a make or break year for him. How does he handle Hackett? How does he handle the rest of his coaching staff? How does he handle, you know, I guess JD's in charge of the personnel, so I'll let that slide. But there are decisions that he's going to have to make this offseason that'll impact next year. And at the end of his 4 years, if you think, all right, that's enough, and you want to pull it and pull the ripcord on Saleh, I get it. But I just think 3 years, considering his star Hall of Fame quarterback went down to the fourth play of the season, and perhaps the GM deserves blame for some of the other moves in season not making in terms of attacking receiver, or a lot of people are upset about not bringing in a better backup quarterback or things along that nature. But in terms of the in-game stuff that Saleh's done, I think the biggest criticism you can make of him is his hiring of Hackett, which I really think is strongly tied to thinking they could get Rodgers, which they did. So, and it's like, I guess the other thing you could say, the other criticism you could have of Saleh is that he was late, I guess, to make a lot of changes, like benching Uzama, benching Cobb, playing Cook less, playing Abanikanda. Did Abanikanda play at all in this game?
I don't think so.
Did he have a single snap in this game? It just dawned on me.
So that's another criticism you can throw in there. I think he's very much shown a lot of favoritism to vets, to players who the team is invested in. And at this point, yeah, he's benched a lot of those guys, but it is November 24th, and a lot of these decisions were obvious in week one. We were talking about them on this podcast, some of them in the preseason. So, it does feel like there's a sense of, we have to justify this investment. Or this guy is a veteran. He needs to play. And it takes a long time for him to bench those types of players.
Yeah, except, it's like he benched Zach twice. He benched him this year. He's benched Uzama.
He did, and I actually will give him the Zach thing. I think in general people are a little too quick to say, the Jets love Zach Wilson and all that. They benched him twice last year in his second season as second overall pick, despite the fact that he had a winning record. So I don't think that Zach Wilson is a problem in terms of Saleh's, management personnel. I actually think he's been very eager to bench Zach Wilson, but he even, hinted this past week, maybe he didn't love the Zach Wilson pick. There was the comment he made, they had some disagreements on the draft process or whatever with him and Douglas. But
Zach Wilson's maybe not part of that.
I just feel like other veterans.
I think I think here's the other thing on Saleh, because I don't think he's above criticism. I just think I just push back on the whole fire Saleh narrative. The other thing I think you can say is his philosophy in terms of, and this is what you get when you have a defensive coach, is way too conservative on the offense side of the ball. It's slightly better than Bowles in terms of fourth down aggressiveness, but this year especially has just been the most conservative and the worst offense. I mean, what was the stat they kept showing? It was the worst third down percentage since the 1950s.
Yeah, worst third down or 50 years. Pretty much modern history, yeah.
The philosophy of this Jets team and this Jets offense is just way too conservative. They had one deep throw the entire game. Actually, two. Right. One was the Hail Mary.
Don't you think that's another thing you could tie to Saleh? Obviously Hackett calls the offense, but it feels like the offensive mentality is an extension of Saleh and how he wants to win games. Like the Raiders game, for example.
Yeah, I just mentioned that.
Where he said, it's a race to 20 points. And don't you think that's something that, maybe he's right because we know how bad the Jets offense is, but from a mentality perspective, you can't think we got to get 20 points to win this game. You got to think you can score 40, even if you know you can't. You have to play with the mentality that you can, because that's how you're going to get the best out of this offense, is to not be afraid of making mistakes.
I knew it was going to be a bad day when they just first play. It was just Breece Hall run right up the middle. I was like, that's not the confident start that we wanted. Right. I don't think he would call the game like that if he had Aaron Rodgers. That's my point. And again, you can criticize the Jets for having absolutely zero contingency plan if Aaron Rodgers were to go down. But they put all their chips in the middle on Rodgers, and it blew up in their face in the most Jets fashion possible. I think between Saleh and JD, I actually think JD deserves a lot more of the blame than Saleh.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Who do you think bears the majority of the blame? Because we were looking at I have all of JD's drafts and free agent signings up in front of me. And that 2022 class is going to save JD's job, coupled with bringing in Aaron Rodgers, I think. But you look through that 2020 class and that 2021 class, and granted, I think fans have this conception of draft classes are all supposed to be perfect. You look around the league, what do you think? If you can get two starters and two role players, that's a good draft.
Yeah, something like that. you know, expectations so should be modest for draft.
And the 2022 draft class, he hit a bunch, so that covers him. But you look through his record, especially free agent signings, especially this offseason, pandering to Rodgers, the offensive free agent signings in particular. I don't think he's hit on a single one outside of Tyler Conklin. On the defensive side of the ball, he's hit on DJ Reed. I guess you could give him credit for Quentin Jefferson. You could give him credit for JFM and Quincy Williams and Bryce Huff. So JD, like, you know, just like I would say with Saleh, I think he's done some good things. He's probably done, you know, just like I think JD can deserve more of the blame, he probably has more going in his favor with that 2022 class and luring in Rodgers. But you look around his record and the team that he's built, at the end of the day, like, we're all talking about this offense is so bad and Hackett is a real big issue. But they have literally nobody. I mean, they're playing Jason Brownlee and Xavier Gibson as their starting receivers. Randall Cobb is back out there. They got Irvin Charles. It's like, that falls in the GM too. And again, I know Corey Davis pulled the rug on them, but it's still like, Lazard's a healthy scratch today. They didn't do anything in the response to Corey Davis's retirement. They traded away Hardman for nothing when that was a bit of a luxury to do. Not that Hardman's been great or anything, but trading away your free agent receiver when you have nobody else behind him. JD's whole thing has been about constructing the offensive line. Like Saleh, he's faced a lot of bad luck. ABT's had injury issues. Becton's had injury issues. But his free agent signings there haven't been good. In fact, his two best offensive line free agent signings were Morgan Moses and George Fant, both of whom he let walk out the door. I don't think McGovern's been that good. Lakin Thomasman's been a train wreck. Tippin looks like he's going to be a good player. So hit or miss on the offensive line, but that was supposed to be his thing. And I don't mean to say anything. Does his offensive line look much better than it did last year or the year before or the year before that or the year before? It's like, so I'm firmly in the boat that I think everybody's going to get another year. There should be changes in the personnel, in the front office and the personnel department, and there should be changes in the offensive staff. But Saleh and JD, I think, are staying. But there are plenty of things that we should now be criticizing a lot more openly. And in my opinion, I think JD deserves a lot of blame for the way that he handled this offseason.
I agree. And I would say, I would put it like this. In terms of this season, I would blame Douglas more than Saleh for the effect on where they're at right now in terms of 2023, because all the things you mentioned are spot on, and obviously injuries have contributed a lot, but, you know, there are a lot of things we discussed this offseason that the Jets needed to do that they didn't do and are now paying for, whether it's, like you said, not replacing Corey Davis when he retired. You know, that was unfortunate, but you had plenty of time to replace him and you didn't. You relied on Alan Lazard to be your wide receiver too. That didn't work out. He's already inactive before the end of November. The offensive line, you did not emphasize, even though you knew you're bringing in a 40-year-old quarterback. You tried to go with Becton again. He's stayed healthy for the most part, but he has not performed great when out there. Dwayne Brown, you counted on him to start again, which was very foolish. He's 38 years old. He didn't stay healthy last year. He didn't play well. So, like, we all talked about it at the beginning of the offseason, especially when they got Rodgers. You got to go all in and, you know, fortify this offensive line if you're serious about protecting him and winning the Super Bowl. And they pretty much, they drafted Tippmann. That's all they did. So they're very
And they were lucky, and they got lucky with Becton being able to play this many games too, because he was no sure thing.
Exactly. Like, either. He shouldn't have even been considered.
They actually got the best, almost the best case scenario with Becton, that he's played this many games. And I know he hasn't been amazing or anything. I know you've been kind of critical of him, but like the fact that he's at least played this many games and been one of the better Jets offensive linemen. Like, they got the best case scenario with Becton, and yeah, they were really banking on that.
Yeah, they took a very risky approach with the offensive line instead of, you know, investing in it and playing it safe. They're trying to raise the floor as much as possible. And I know no one can prepare for, you know, everyone to get injured except Tomlinson at this point, pretty much. No team can truly prepare for that. But even if the offensive line, you know, was a little bit healthier, it still probably wouldn't have been ideal, because other than Tippmann and AVT, no one's really played great this year. So they didn't fully emphasize the offensive line. They went wide receiver, made a bad signing,
which is just so strange given their philosophy on offense.
Right, yeah.
You look at Detroit and they have, I mean, granted, they have a creative offensive coordinator who likes to throw the ball, but they have like the same kind of CEO head coach, this tough mentality of, we're going to run you over and play great defense. You look at what they built on that offensive line, and it's like they have the ability to do that. And then the Jets try to do that, and they got running right behind Xavier Newman and Max Mitchell, getting blown off the ball every snap. And it's like, I don't know. I think both Saleh and JD, there are plenty of things to criticize. I think JD, like you said, it probably deserves more of the blame for this season. I just think it's, I think it's foolish to fire them this year. You know, I'm sure plenty of people disagree with that. You didn't even touch on giving Dalvin Cook $7 million, which
I know we've moved past. Which I guess there could be, and that's another thing with Douglas, there could be multiple parties in the Cook signing. Like, did Rodgers push for that? And then other pickups they made, did you have to get Lazard to get Rodgers and Cobb and Turner and all these other Green Bay cronies and Rodgers crew? Like, you know, maybe you alleviate some of the blame from Douglas because he felt like he had to get those guys. But at the same time, there's nothing stopping him from going harder on the offensive line at receiver, and he didn't do it. So yeah, that's my original point. I would blame Douglas more than Saleh because he has more control over the product on the field right now, I would say, in terms of the fact that, you know, they're mostly losing because they don't have talent out there right now. So I would blame Douglas more, but looking forward, I would say that I have more faith in Douglas than Saleh just because I feel like Douglas has shown you signs, at least for me, and maybe you disagree, other people disagree, but at least for me, I feel like Douglas has shown me signs that he has a good idea of, you know, what he's doing. Like, he's whiffed on a lot of picks. He's whiffed on a lot of signings, but I think he's emphasized the right things because he has tried in the offensive line. He's tried. It has not worked. It's gone terribly, but he's tried. And that is an upgrade over previous Jets GMs who didn't even try at all. Like, when their last first round offensive lineman before Douglas was like Mangold or whatever it was. So he's tried. He's emphasized the trenches on defense. Cornerback, he treated as a premium position. It is, even though people like me were saying, you know, he shouldn't have, but he did, and it's worked out great. So I think he emphasizes the right things. He had one of the greatest draft classes in recent history in the NFL in 2022, which buys him a lot of leeway because overall, outside of that, it hasn't been great. He's had some good gems in undrafted free agency, waiver pickups. Obviously, his free agency has been terrible. But I feel like there are some things you can point to and say, like, I could see Douglas, you know, building a good team. Because a lot of what you're hopeful about with this Jets team has to do with some of the pickups he's made. At the same time, some things you're, you know, pessimistic about that are causing this have to do with things he didn't do. But for me, I just look at Douglas and I see, like, I can picture it. With Saleh, it's just getting harder for me to see, like you try to picture you're at the Super Bowl, the confetti's falling. Can I see that guy holding up the Vince Lombardi trophy? Can I see Saleh doing it? Especially after the toothpaste commercial? I don't know if I can. But Douglas, I have more. He's been bad. Like I said, I would put more blame on him for this year than Saleh. But looking forward, I have more. If I had to choose one, I have more faith in Douglas.
Well, the problem with Saleh, the problem we were kind of getting at earlier, is that if you're a defensive coach, you're beholden to your offensive coordinator. He's reliant on being able to find a good offensive coordinator. Clearly, he didn't find one in Hackett. I think LaFleur had plenty of issues, but he was better than Hackett. If LaFleur was the offensive coordinator right now, I think the offense would still suck, but would definitely be better than what it is right now. They went in on Rodgers. It didn't work out. The question becomes like, all right, let's say even if Rodgers plays next year and it goes well, let's say, I won't even go best case scenario. Let's just say Rodgers plays next year, they make the playoffs, they lose, but he retires happily ever after. You probably stick with Hackett for another year then, right? At that point, like then you're kind of tied to Hackett. And then, okay, maybe you fire Hackett or whatever, fire Hackett after this year. It's like, then Saul is going to be on his third offense coordinator and you're trusting him to find the right guy to steer his ship. And a lot of the issues come in that philosophy of playing too conservative and playing defensively. Like, I get what you're saying in terms of your criticisms with Saleh, but I just think you look at what he's had to deal with on the offensive side of the ball. Granted, he's a head coach, falls on him, but if we could just see what a Robert Saleh coach team could look like with competence on the offense side of the ball, I think you'd feel a lot better about him being the head coach. And I don't mean to say anything. The other thing is, who else is out there? You know, hire Jim Harbaugh? That's the big name I've seen floated around. And besides being a Harbaugh, I don't know if that just seems like that's going to be a disaster. But I don't know enough about Jim Harbaugh to be.
Yeah, I don't really know. Maybe I guess you could hire
Ben Johnson, another offensive coordinator.
I love Ben Johnson for sure.
But you love his offense, but you have no idea what he would be like as a head coach. You know, like there are a lot of some guys make a good coordinator and they don't make a good head coach. The one thing about Saleh is he knows how to command a room. He has the respect of his locker room. He has instilled a good culture in New York. There's a lot that he does that we don't see as fans because we're not in the building.
Like the things culture is supposed to affect, we're not seeing. Like in terms of on the field, like we're still seeing dumb personal fouls consistently, which sometimes it's just a bad mistake by the player.
That's
we've been seeing it really consistently at this point. And, we're seeing players rant on social media constantly. We're seeing blowout losses. So I don't know. I feel like the culture thing is overrated when it's not translating to the field.
There's been a few instances of social media. They traded away the primary culprit in Elijah Moore. There's been a few cryptic tweets from Becton and Brees and Jordan Whitehead and those guys, but nothing crazy. When you look around the league, Michael, that's kind of a league-wide problem. That's just the generation of players now. They have an outlet.
We're overrating
to
the culture because he's preceded by Adam Gase. If he wasn't preceded by Gase, we wouldn't be giving him
I disagree with that. I think most people around the league watched Hard Knocks and said, well, damn, this solid guy is a great head coach. I'd want to play for him. I've heard a lot of former players have kind of said that. A lot of former players respect Saul as a coach. When you look around the league, I mean, yeah, maybe the culture as a whole is overrated. Like Jonathan Gannon, the Cardinals coach, everybody shat on him because he just seemed so awkward and he had that terrible speech or whatever. But it's like, not that the Cardinals have been that good, but like they probably offensively been better than the Jets, and he's a defensive guy. But I get all the arguments you're making. My only point is I just think it's early to pull the ripcord on Saleh without seeing this vision through. You know, they did it. They landed the Hall of Fame quarterback.
What is his vision? He had 30 different slogans this offseason. Is it 60%? Is it all gas, no break? Is it if you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping? Which one is it? I'm kind of losing track at this point.
It's that the defense is going to be top five in the league, which they are, and Rodgers is going to steer the offense. And Rodgers is going to get you at the very least league average offense, maybe better. And then come playoff time, you have a Hall of Fame quarterback who knows how to win in the clutch. That's the offense. And then this offseason, you're hoping that JD is going to go ahead and bolster the offensive line, bolster the receiver room, and you enter next year with an even better team than you had in August, and the expectations will be even higher. And then if it blows up in their face again, then I get the argument to move on from Saleh. But I think you have to see the vision through. They brought in Rodgers. They got the big cat. He goes down in four plays. And now we're going to fire everybody in November. We said it. We said it after the first game. We said the season's over. Like, we won't say that in November. We'll be pointing to all the other different reasons the Jets lost. But make no mistake, the reason we were all excited was the Jets had a legitimate shot to win a Super Bowl this year, and it just ended in four plays. And the other big criticism people have, and this might be something towards JD, I kind of disagree with it, though, is there's a lot of people saying that the Jets should have traded for a better backup quarterback, which I think completely ignores the context that they were 4-3 at the trade deadline, so that's part of the reason they didn't do that. I think you can maybe make the argument that, okay, maybe they trade for a Josh Jobs or a Jacoby Brissett. How many more games does that get them? Because clearly you watch this game, and I'm not saying Tim Boyle is an amazing backup or anything, but this offense has a lot more problems than quarterback. So let's say you go and you ship off more draft capital for a Josh Dobbs or a Jacoby Brissett in a likely lost season, considering your Hall of Fame quarterback went down, who's also, he's still lingering, like he's going to come back at the end of the year, which probably factored in the decision a little bit. Like if Zach Wilson stunk against the Chiefs and they didn't win three in a row and beat the Eagles and they're at the trade deadline, I think they would have made a move for a Ryan Tannehill or somebody. But at the time of the trade deadline, they were 4-3. Rodgers is thinking about coming back. He already went down. Do you want to sink more draft capital into it? Like, I don't think a Josh Dobbs is making a difference. Sorry, Connor Hughes. Like, I just don't think that behind this offensive line and with these weapons, do you think he's winning this game? You think he's beating the Bills? Even the Raiders game, I know Zach Wilson.
They should have addressed that.
I know, but which games is that getting them? Like, that's the QB is not the big issue right now. Like, it is an issue, but Rodgers with Hackett is the big issue. Hackett with Rodgers, fine. No Rodgers with Hackett, I don't. Who are you putting in there? That's Russell Wilson sucked last year with him, and Russell Wilson's not amazing or anything. But like, that's a starting quarterback. It's like I just don't understand that's the reason the Jets aren't going to make the playoffs, that they didn't trade for a backup quarterback. But I don't know if you have feelings on that. I just don't know. What games Josh Dobbs winning?
I don't think during
the Patriots game.
I don't think they should have traded for one in season. I still think in the offseason they should have done it. If they wanted to keep Zach Wilson, it should have been, this is his redshirt year. He's going to stick around and learn. We don't want him to play unless it's an emergency. Let's get a better veteran backup who gives us a better chance to win if Rodgers goes down. The only one I think turns is the Patriots game, because I think there were plays to be made there that maybe like a average backup quarterback makes, which I think Zach Wilson is, but maybe like a higher end backup quarterback would make.
He was still
Gardner Minshew, Brissett, maybe even Mike White. Although that's an interesting conversation too, whether or not you want him back. But I think a guy like that wins a Patriots game. Other than that, I don't. Cowboys was a blowout. Chiefs, Zach Wilson played well. Chargers was a blowout. Raiders, maybe, but I mean, he still made some good plays in that game that weren't caught, and there were plenty of other issues. Obviously, the last two were blowouts. So, I mean, maybe they have one more win with a higher level backup quarterback right now. So, I think they should have done that in the offseason. I don't think trade deadline was an option.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, who knows how those games would have unfolded with a different. But I just think the argument that we're all acting like, oh, because the Jets didn't trade for that, has to be the narrative now, is like it switched from it's Zach Wilson's terrible, let's bench Zach Wilson, that'll fix everything, to no, well, they just needed to bring in a better back. It's like the quarterback, okay, sure, is not the solution right now, not the biggest issue. Hackett's the number one issue. I'd say receivers, well, O-line's probably next, and then receivers probably third. And then quarterback. Quarterback isn't a top three issue on this offense, and quarterback's not good. So this offseason, they have a lot of work to do. I think the barring the Jets ripping off three in a row, Rodgers should not play at all. The Jets won't rip three in a row off. I'm just saying, unless the Jets are at 7-7 at that point, is that what they would be? They'd be 7-7.
Yeah.
Unless you're in that, but that Rodgers pipe dream can go. I know he wants to play come hell or high water to prove that he can do it, to put that on his
mantle. Just let him take a snap so he can make the history.
Yeah, you could take one QB kneel, get out of there, but it's just not worth it. And, we'll still be doing these pods and talking and previewing games and stuff, but at this point, it does feel like kind of we're shifting our attention towards next year. There are just too many weaknesses on the offensive side of the ball to overcome unless you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. And even then, I don't know exactly where the Jets would be this season.
One more thing about kind of moot point anyway, because like you said, I don't think he's getting fired. But one more thing about why I would fire Saleh is you look ahead to next year and say, Aaron Rodgers plays the whole season. He plays well. You have a good year, 9 or 10 wins, lose the first playoff game. Maybe you win one. If that happens, which is your realistic best case scenario, then based on that success, you're bringing Saleh back again the next year and probably Hackett, like you said. Now you're in 25 and you still have these guys. And based on what we've seen here, these first 3 years and this year, you're saying, you got Rodgers, that was the plan, and everything, went to hell when he got injured. But if that's what it takes for a solid team to be good, then, what is he bringing to the table? That's just the question I ask. So
the only thing I would say,
what long term after Rodgers is gone, do we have faith that Saleh can do it without an Aaron Rodgers, that he can build something consistent that can withstand injuries, that can withstand maybe you don't have the greatest quarterback this year?
The fact that they were 7-4 last year, Mike White got injured.
And they lost a couple of games with Mike White when he played.
They lost one game with Mike White playing the whole game, and then the next one he got just ripped in half in Buffalo. And
they still would have lost if he stayed in. He played most of the game.
I don't know, but you remember he came back and he started driving again? No, Joe Flacco fumbled. Whatever, we don't have to go back to a year ago. But no, they were at least in that game, and we were one Braxton Berrios dropped 1 yard pass from being 8-4. So I think we have seen something to be like, all right, he can win without having Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback. That's why we were all so excited.
Very little thing to hold on to. Yeah. Very, very small.
Yeah, but he's been
sliver.
In the league. He's only – this is towards the end of his third season.
3 years?
Okay, his first year, you're coming off.
There aren't a lot of guys you can point to. We were looking at it before this, and you're like Chuck Knoll 50 years ago. Are not a lot of great examples. And
Chuck
you
Knoll
can throw
was,
Belichick in there, but
Chuck,
even Belichick –
Chuck Knoll was –
had 20 Chuck wins his first 3 years.
Lost 30 of his first 42, and then he had 4 rings by the end of the decade. So just saying. But I know it's a different game. The one thing I would say to you, though, is what more could Saleh have done these 3 years when you look at it? Like, his year one, he's taking over for Gase in one of the worst situations in the entire league, and they draft what turns out to be a likely bust at quarterback, and Becton gets hurt. What all that? So, okay, first year, it's his first year installing the program. They suck. Whatever. You accept that. Year two, he's again saddled with a terrible quarterback, and he gets him all the way to 7-4. The backup quarterback who'd won a couple games with, Mike White, it's not like he's starting anywhere, gets injured. They throw Zach Wilson back out there again, and they lose those games at the end of the year. They miss the playoffs. And now that you're here, you push all your chips in on Rodgers, and it blows up in their face. And the main culprit right now is Hackett and the lack of talent on offense. How are any of those things solid? The thing that's Saul's fault is hiring Hackett. Yes, yeah, but in my opinion, they hired Hackett. Okay, the one thing I'll say, though, is did they hire Hackett because they thought they were going to get Rodgers?
Most likely they did. Yeah.
Yes. So that's why they did it. They hired Hackett and they brought in Lazaro because they thought they were going to get Rodgers, which we agreed with. It's the Hall of Fame quarterback. You pair him with this great defense. It's like your other option was Derek Carr, who hasn't been that good, and Jimmy Garoppolo, who's already been benched. So that's why I just look at it. It's like, yeah, there are little things you can point to and philosophical things with Saleh and the fact that he's a defensive guy, not an offensive guy. Like there are little seeds to talk about. And if this doesn't work out for another year, you fire him. But it's like, I look at those first 3 years. It's like, he was kind of in a lose-lose situation with just the luck that he was handed. And the one thing I would say is if he had hired Hackett, I can't say they hired Hackett thinking they were going to get Rodgers. If he had hired Hackett and not gotten Rodgers, this would be a different discussion. Because now you'd say, well, you fired LaFleur and brought in this guy. This guy's terrible. And that would be a different conversation. But in my opinion, this whole Jets organization pushed all their chips in on Rodgers, and it ended on the fourth play of the season. That's just how it went. That's just life as a Jets fan. So it is what it is.
I agree. I just feel like it. You know, there's a certain bar, and we'll see how the rest of the season goes, but there's a certain bar that, you know, the excuse carries you to, like, okay, we'll give you this much leeway for the injuries, but it just feels like historically bad offensive numbers, ugly blowout losses on primetime. It's going to be 3 straight years out of the playoffs, at most 7 wins, and like, it doesn't have to be that bad all the time. It feels like teams can overcome that. The Colts with Shane Steichen, they're in their first season, like Saleh was in 21. They had no expectations this year. Their starting quarterback got hurt. They're 5-5, and they're in the wild card.
Yeah, they had Gardner Minshew, not Zach Wilson, though.
Exactly. Well, which is a guy that just should have signed, but again, he's Gardner Minshew. He's not the most amazing quarterback in the world.
Yeah, but he's one of them.
And are we just going to tie Saleh to the quarterback? He needs a great quarterback. That's the only way he can win.
Well, if he has a terrible quarterback and a terrible offensive coordinator, he's not going to win. The problem is the OC. And that is really – this is why I would say you can fire Saleh after next year. It's like, this is the big decision for Saleh this offseason, what to do with Hackett. Would Hackett accept a demotion down to quarterback's coach so he can be Rodgers' little buddy down there on the sideline and they can work stuff out? Does Hackett allow you poach somebody from Miami staff or Detroit staff or whatever to be the passing game coordinator and help design the passing concepts? Like, whatever Saleh does, he has to make changes on the offense side of the ball with coaching. He can't run it back with Keith Carter, Todd Downing, Nate Hackett, Kyle Brees. Let's party. Like, he just can't do that. JD knows he's on the hot seat as well. JD's going to go all in on O-line and receiver. What does Saleh do with his offensive coaching staff this offseason? He has to make changes. If there is a way to fire Hackett and Rodgers would be cool with it and Rodgers understand it, I would definitely do that. I don't know if they can. So you got to explore all avenues. If Hackett has to stay as OC, you got to bring somebody else in as the passing game coordinator to help redesign the offense. If Hackett could accept a demotion, you do that. But otherwise, you are completely beholden to Aaron Rodgers, and you better hope he doesn't get hurt. Because if he gets hurt and Hackett's out there calling plays with, I don't care who you bring in next year as your backup quarterback, with your Gardner Minshew, it's going to be ugly again. Maybe it'll be a little bit better because the personnel should be better. But, you know, they're stuck with Hackett, it seems like. So is that on Saleh? If I were to ask you in March, I think I did. If you're hiring Nate Hackett, obviously we hate it, but if you get this Hall of Fame quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, would you do it? Everybody would say yes. And the Jets did too, and it blew up in their face. So I don't know. I guess that's it for us. Unless we want to talk about Jordan Whitehead allowing his 7th touchdown of the season.
Yeah.
I know. What we can't say is the offense has been so bad that the defense doesn't get any of the scrutiny. The defense the last 2 weeks has been...
They missed Michael Carter. His impact has been demonstrated these past two games,
pick six. How much of it do you think is, if you're on the defense and you're on this team, it's like, our offense can't do anything. I'm playing on this shit MetLife turf. Am I really going to lay my bot? I mean, I know they're still playing hard and stuff, but it's like, there's a part of me that's just like, when your offense is doing nothing, your defense is on the field the entire game. Like, they had that one drive in the second half where I think it was 15 plays. They had the ball for like 9 minutes. It's just like, at the end of that drive, I'm sorry, if I'm one of those defensive vets, it's like, I signed up for a Super Bowl year with Aaron Rodgers, and here I am. Our offense has 6 points. and it's the 14th play of the drive. It's just, it takes a toll. So that's why I think I'm hesitant to criticize anybody on defense, but Whitehead missing another tackle, allowing a 7 touchdown. Was there a part of you that was happy? Let's just be honest. Or were you upset that they allowed a touchdown?
No,
you feel vindicated?
I mean, a little bit, but I mean, I still root for every player in the team, whether it was Cook this year, Uzama. Most important is the Jets winning, but if they are going to fail, it would be nice to be like, all right, I told you, I kind of said that was going to happen, but no one agreed.
Well,
but,
yeah. You know. Oh, man, how this season devolved so quickly. Oh, you're so excited. It's all right. We're gonna get our hopes up just in time for next year. Don't worry. We're going to have a whole offseason to let it build. They're going to make some big moves. They'll trade for Davante Adams. We'll be all excited about the Super Bowl run next 32 year.
32-year-old Davante Adams.
And then, of course, Rodgers is going to come back and not be the same, and it'll just be more depressing bullshit, and they'll fire everybody, and we'll be back here in 2025. All right, so I don't want to be cynical. This is why we don't do the podcast immediately after the game. It's just too cynical, too depressing. But I swear, we're going to see that solid Colgate ad all throughout the rest of the season.
I cannot believe they got the pick six. They're right back in the game, and you throw a pick six on a Hail Mary. Never see. Has that happened in the NFL? Did anyone look up the history on that yet?
Part of it, I think, I'd have to rewatch it. But I don't know.
I just remember as soon as it got picked off, I was like, not that I immediately thought he would score, but I was like, he's got a lot of room. It just played out in a way where everyone was behind him, and you know all that's in front of him is O-lineman and a quarterback, and Breece Hall is out there too, but he got blocked. So
was the,
it seemed
was,
like he's
going
to have
a shot. Was
there
not good hang time on that throw? I was trying to rewatch.
I have to look at it again.
The one thing I think you can say about it is it was short of the end zone, so that kind of gave him. Also, there's a clear pass interference. I know they never call it, but I think it's Brownlee just gets absolutely tackled before the ball. Before the ball arrives, and then it's just like, you know, Carter Warren kind of slows up. Garrett Wilson doesn't kick it into an extra gear. Mitchell and Tippmann blow it, and then you're left with Boyle trying to save the touchdown. And then Garrett Wilson also didn't really try at the end either. Breece Hall got pancaked. I mean, it's just, you know, that people are laughing like that's some crazy. I know it's never happened, but it's like, okay, but I've seen them run back a field goal before. It's not that much different. It's a lot of open space and everybody trying to tackle one guy. Like it was like it just turned into a kickoff. In fact, a harder kickoff because you had nobody running full speed. You know, you had offensive linemen out there trying to cover him. I don't know. The solid Colgate ad was way more embarrassing than the Fail Mary. And we're going to have to deal with that stupid commercial for the rest of the season into the playoffs. And I'm telling you, the only reason they cast – from Saul's perspective, I get he has like 8 kids or something. He's got a lot of college tuitions to pay. Okay, whatever. Yeah. Get your, but like why? Why would you agree to do that commercial? What – that to me was the best argument for firing Saul. It's a complete lack of awareness. Clearly Colgate is hiring you because either the Jets are good and it's like, all right, we got this guy looks like, you know, Vin Diesel or whatever, straight out of central casting for a head coach. We got him, or it's all Jets, and we can play this when the Jets suck, and Barstool and everybody else can run wild with it and post on Twitter and free promo for Colgate.
Yeah,
toothpaste.
Like I said, I'm
killed your soul for toothpaste.
Definitely not going to lie to you. Seeing that is what kind of pushed me over the edge. Like I was definitely getting a little frustrated before that. Like, but
I'm done with this.
Once I saw that, I was like, all right, I'm going in. You open yourself up to it with this, Sala.
All right. We'll be back this week.
Even though maybe I influence his coaching, because clearly he's taken some of my stats before.
All right. Let's not get your head get too big.
No, I'm taking responsibility. He's a great coach. It's my fault.
We'll be back sometime next week. This is a weird schedule.
I mean,
exactly
one of his players reads my literally reads my articles and posts
screenshotted
it
and posted it and then allowed a touchdown. So, I mean...
That is, I'm sorry.
I don't want to sell. Okay, you know the one thing I will say about Whitehead? Because I've defended him more. I know you've always, you know, you've been saying since the beginning of this guy. I've been like, oh, he makes some big plays. I did meet him one time before a game. He was pretty nice. Took a selfie with me. You just chose not to be in the photo, partly because I think you'd already known that you had criticized him.
Yeah.
But he's a cool guy. So, he's whatever. All right. I think that's it. Anything else? Unless you want to talk about Tim Boyle and Zach Wilson. We didn't really talk about it the entire pod. Just the difference in quarterback. They did make the quarterback change. Any thoughts on it?
I mean, I think this kind of showed what we've been saying, that, you know, anyone who thought Zach Wilson was the only problem with his offense.
Yeah, Connor Hughes.
Was clear. Who didn't he, like, switch up his opinion?
I don't know. He puts a backwards hat on and films himself walking to the stadium to just give garbage opinion after garbage opinion.
Nobody respects that guy. At least I don't. And I know you don't. But nonetheless, I think
the tone that he uses to ask questions in press conferences annoy me. And, like, I get maybe it's just the Jets are bad, so I just got beat up on a beat reporter. Every time he asks a question in postgame, I want to smash my phone against the wall.
Definitely designed to, like, incite, you know, get them to.
Robert, if you're not going to. I shouldn't. I'm not going to go in. I'll behave. I'm sorry.
Behave. Unlike I did during the game today. You should. Everyone listening, you should see my angry text that I sent to Ben. There's some unhinged stuff in here that I would not say if I was on the phone with him or calling him. I was calling him some stuff. Nothing vulgar, but definitely, like, I was like, okay, bucko, you're wrong. Okay, bud. Okay, idiot.
It's fine. I get it. This has just been a shit show of a season.
Well, I mean, I wish our boy Boyle had a better game, but, I mean, unfortunately, it's...
He did come through in my parlay.
The reason he's a third-string quarterback. I just don't know why Simeon's not ahead of him on the depth chart. Like, is he struggling that much in practice?
I think it'll be Simeon next week.
Definitely. I think it's very likely it's Simeon next week. But, like, he's by far the most productive of the three quarterbacks for his career.
Watch Simeon rip three in a row, and then we're right back at 7-7. We're like, all right.
Wasn't he on the Falcons, like, last year, and he got cut? So, Simeon revenge game incoming?
Yeah, maybe. That's true. I will say for Boyle, he did come through and hit the over on his passing yards and won me $50 in a parlay, so I'll take that.
What was the number?
174.5, I think.
Wow. I would have hit that.
Might have been 175
based on garbage time.
That's what I bet on. No, you want to hear the parlay? This is how sad.
You knew he would throw like 40 passes because they'd be down.
You want to hear this parlay just so you can get a sense of how sad the Jets offense is? I put $5 on this to win 52. It was Tim Boyle to have 176 yards. Jeremy Rucker needed 7 yards. Jason Brownlee needed 10 yards. Gibson needed 2 catches. And Garrett Wilson needed 5 catches. That was took the over on all that, and $5 paid $52. That's the state of the Jets offense. Brownlee was our starting receiver. Is it 9.5? All right. Let's get out of here. Follow us at CYJPod on Twitter. Michael underscore Nania, myself, Ben W. Blessington. Yeah, there we go. Hold on. Nice. You twinning with Sala. Go to jetsxfactor.com, best place to go for Jets content. Check out the other JetX pods. Subscribe to the YouTube. If you can, rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. That's it. Michael, last thoughts? Is this the last time we'll ever see these black unis? Stop watching the Knicks game. We got a podcast to finish.
It was a close game. It's a 3-point game with a minute 15 left. Actually, a confident New York sports team.
Last thoughts?
All black could be the last time we've ever seen it. Do you think they'll make some sort of black alternate? If they bring in like throwback or any type of new uniform next year, I think they would definitely do it.
New unis next year, I would keep a black alternate. I know it's an unpopular take with some Jets fans. I like the black unis. Once a year?
I like it. I just still don't know if I like the all black with green helmet better or with the current black matte helmet.
This is Michael in autopilot. His brain is fully focused on the Knicks, but he's able to, with his subconscious,
I can always just default to uniforms.
Okay, let's get out of here.
Anytime we're in a conversation, we're done. I don't know what to talk about. Jets uniforms. And the other person's like, oh, okay.
We'll be back this week, sometime in the middle of the week, maybe Thursday or something. Maybe we'll do a mailbag. Who knows? That'll do it for us. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Hope everybody had a great holiday. We'll be back next week. Go Jets.